Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108. Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
All right, welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. The first round of the Open Championship at Royal Portrush is starting to draw to a close. There's probably still another 90 minutes or so of golf. The story of the opening day then, well, really, it's going to be dominated by Rory McIlroy, who bookended his round with a quadruple bogey at the first after going out of bounds with his tee shot, and then a triple bogey at the last. An 8-over par round of 79 for McIlroy means he won't be around for the weekend. But you would have to imagine Shane Lowry very much will be. A first round 67, 4-under par for a long time. He was the clubhouse leader, though he has just been passed out by JB Holmes, who's in the clubhouse on 5-under par, a round of 66 for the big hitting American. And another big hitter, the Spaniard John Rahm, the two-time Irish Open champion, still out there, 5-under par with four holes to go. Lowry on 4-under. It's a quality leaderboard already. You have the likes of Sergio Garcia, Tommy Fleetwood, and the world number one Brooks Koepka all in a group on 3-under par. Justin Rose playing the last on 2-under par. Darren Clark and the amateur champion James Sugru were both out in the first group this morning just after 6:30 and both played some brilliant golf early on. Dropped away over the final three holes, a really difficult closing three holes up at Portrush, and both finished though at level par and a great shot of reaching the weekend. But it was disappointment for Graham McDowell, 2-over par round for McDowell. Francesco Molinari, the defending champion, a 3-over par round. Patrick Harrington on 4-over. And Tiger Woods, it's been a horror show from Woods, the Masters champion, playing the 17th at the moment. He's on 6-over par. And McIlroy then, of the 156 in the field, McIlroy is in a tie for 150th on 8-over par. Joe Molloy has been up at Royal Portrush for the afternoon. A little bit earlier, he was out following Tiger Woods and has taken some time out from making his way back home to chat to us through the day. Evening, Joe.
Evening, Nathan. Dramatic day, huh?
Whew, wow. Right from, well, really, from Darren Clark starting brilliantly this morning, but that moment of Rory McIlroy driving out of bounds was pretty shocking stuff, to be quite honest. It just wasn't what we were expecting. I think everyone thought, with the form he's shown all year, that he could put a run at it at the very least, but for it all to unravel so early, for him, it must be pretty heartbreaking.
Absolutely. I mean, we've talked about McIlroy, obviously, on Golf Weekly for much of the year. He's been in brilliant form generally, hasn't quite brought it to majors, but everything was shaping up towards him having a very decent week. And he stood up on the first tee, and with his 2-iron, I know that because Paul Casey was saying, who played with him, that McIlroy struggled with his 2-iron all day. He turned it left and it went OB. It's an internal OB, by the way, which is quite unusual. Mm. You don't get many internal OBs. I was checking why that was. It's just tradition as much as anything. Portrush originally didn't own that section of land, and so they decided to keep up with tradition. They own that section of land now, but they've kept the OB there, even though there's loads of space. There's no room to have it as such. He hit a woman's phone and broke her mobile phone, and then it trickled out OB. So, you know, bad in every way. She lost her phone, he lost the ball. He was saying afterwards, so he came in and spoke afterwards and spoke pretty well. And that first shot, I mean, it looks like it's nothing, but there's actually OB left and there's OB right. Now, yesterday in his practice, he went OB right. And he said, not good, I know, but as he stood on the first tee, that crossed his mind. Mm. I went OB right here yesterday. And so he kind of gestured with his right hand. He said, I just closed the club face a touch. I didn't want to go right. And next thing you know, it's OB. He goes up there. He has to hit his fourth shot. Hits that into an unplayable. Has to take another drop. Suddenly he's chipping on the green and has to putt for a 7. Misses that 7. And he makes an 8 on the first. And as you said, drama. Like an unbelievable injection of drama to the tournament. Bad in the long run because you want McIlroy there. But it certainly focused minds. He said in a weird way, and no, you played the clip in the news round. It almost calmed him down perversely because he thought, well, it can't get any worse than this. And he did battle back to be +3 at the turn, which wasn't bad. Interestingly, what he said he's most angry about, and he used the word inexcusable, he said it was inexcusable, was the 3-putt on the 16th, that famous par 3 calamity. So, you know, he misses the first and then in a casual way misses the dribbler back, 1-2 feet back, and then taps in for a 5. What he said happened there was he lost concentration almost in that he was angry at himself for missing that first putt because he thought the wind might play a factor in the putt, but he ignored the wind and then he was still thinking about that. You know, we've all done it, you know, cursing himself as he walks up to the next putt, knocks that by, and he said, that bugs me more than the OB on one. He said, the OB on one can happen. It's obviously a sickener. It can happen. But that was inexcusable. And that, you know, that finish, you mentioned 18 as well, that finished him off. And he said, look, I'm going to fight my damnedest. I'm going to try and make the cut, hang around for the weekend. But he could have figured, I would say, you know, as you can imagine, incredibly disappointed. And he's been thinking about that tee shot, I suspect, since 2015 when it was announced the Open was coming here. That's 4 years of thinking about this tournament, 4 years of, I hope I get off to a good start. I hope I'm in contention. And look, me, you, and most rank bad golfers out there, we can't relate to McIlroy in many ways, but I think we've all experienced destroying a tournament on the first hole or two and how horrible it is. I mean, he had that times a billion today.
And there's no quick recovery now for McIlroy with this. He'll go out, he'll play his round tomorrow. Maybe there'll be moments where it looks as though he might do something special and even do enough to make the cut. But it's a long, long time until Augusta. And people who watch golf and love golf and cover golf are going to remember this round and that tee shot and analyse it, maybe overanalyse it and question what it means in terms of his 5 years without a major championship. This round and that shot is going to live with him for a long time, you'd imagine.
Yeah. It's hard to disagree. It's terrible. I think he's got, what, like some 230 or 40 odd days until Augusta. That is a lot of time to think about it. It's a sickener. And you hope that Portrush gets the Open again while he's still somewhere in the vicinity of his peak so that he can put things right. You know, a mad thing, Paul Casey came into the media scrum area first and he'd been playing with McIlroy, you know, and there weren't many people there at that stage. And it was kind of cool. Five or six of us just chatting to Casey. And I sort of said to him, that tee shot, geez, with OB down the left and OB down the right, like I presume even you were standing there thinking, you know, it's a little bit squeaky bum time. And he sort of smiled and he said, I'll be honest with you, until Rory hit it OB, I didn't know there was OB on the first.
So, that's incredible, I mean, isn't it?
I was like, what is your caddy doing? So he was like, he was as shocked as anyone to see that. And I was saying, like, do you say anything to Rory on the first afterwards or no? And he's like, no, you just stay a million miles away from him. I was asking him what he thought the winning score might be. He reckoned, he said if you offered him 10 under now, he would jump at it. But I mean, the weather is everything. But that was, that was Casey today playing with Rory.
So look, there's an awful lot of positives to take from this first day, not least the brilliance of the golf course at Portrush and the quality of the leaderboard and the Irish interest with Shane Lowry. We'll get to that. But I know when you got up there, you were so keen to watch Tiger Woods firstly on the range and just see where his swing is at and where his game is at, and then follow him around for the early stages of his round. Like, looking at it from afar on the television, it hasn't been good. Up close, what were your thoughts?
I could have told you beforehand it wasn't going to be good. It was genuinely extraordinary. I mean, it was a big part of the reason I wanted to come up today is that he was teeing off at 3 o'clock, and the one time you get to see him up close with the media access is when he's warming up. So I mean, he was putting and chipping fine, but then when he went to the range, this is not an exaggeration. With the fairway medal in his hand, he topped about 4 or 5 shots.
Wow.
It was extraordinary, you know, and I've been lucky enough to come to Opens since Royal Lytham in 2012, and he was there, and Muirfield 2013, and, you know, he is a brilliant driving range player. You know, he's even when he's not playing well, he's always good on the range, and he doesn't mind putting on a show. This was bad. He was teeing off at 3:10, and at about 2:50, after he'd hit yet another very, very iffy shot, him and his coach, I wasn't too sure who the coach was, but they were looking at each other, and it was, you know, what do you think kind of thing. And you could hear him saying, how long have we got? And it was just everything about it, you know, to think he was about to hop in a little buggy and be up to the cauldron of the first tee box, where, you know, frankly, he must have known, and Joe LeCave's caddy must have known, that things were not good. I could have told you before it wasn't going to turn out well, but it's affected all parts of his game. Even his short game's been very iffy. He's +6. I think he'll be up early tomorrow. He'll be on the first private jet out of here about 3 o'clock. He'll be home in bed, and he'll just put it behind him. I was speaking to somebody who knows a thing or two about the golf swing here, and he was reckoning that Woods isn't turning through the ball very well. Probably a mobility issue, and so his hands are having to do an awful lot. It means there's a lot of timing in the swing. But yeah, it's not too often you see Tiger Woods top two shots in a row. But yeah, saw that today. So he's nowhere near it, Nathan.
And watching him walking the fairways then, because when we think back to pre that surgery, that fusion that seemed to turn his life and his career around, you'd watch him at golf tournaments and he looked like a very old man. He'd struggle to bend down and pick up the tee even. Watching him strolling those fairways in Portrush, does he look like physically he's suffering?
No, too hard to tell. I certainly wouldn't say he looks like he's suffering. What strikes you about him in person is how deliberate almost every movement is. He's just moving very deliberately at all times. Now, he's bending down even on the putting green to take his putts out of the hole, and he's swinging the club, and he's not grimacing or anything after every shot. But it's just deliberate is the way he's moving. I wonder what's going on there. I wonder in a couple of years' time, or even in a year's time, if he gives a semi-honest answer about where his body is. Who knows how often he's getting to practice at the moment. It was very unusual for Woods yesterday to say his game wasn't where it needed to be. You know, he's usually very positive before any tournament. So, yeah, you just wonder how restricted he is, because the Woods we're seeing here is obviously not a patch on the Woods that we saw at Augusta.
So looking at the positives then, well, Shane Lowry, from an Irish point of view.
Stop dragging me down here.
What a 6 months he's had. He's spoken himself that it's been the best 6 months of his career in terms of getting the victory in Abu Dhabi, consistently putting himself in contention and getting out with that round of 67. Five birdies, just a one drop shot at the 11th. Said he had a really good pep talk yesterday with Neil Manship. They went for a coffee in the Bushmills Inn, and whatever worries were there for Lowry in terms of his game, they just managed to iron them all out. And I don't know if you managed to catch much of the end of his round or just the general buzz around him this week.
Caught a bit of him. I mean, he's delighted. And it was a great round. He played really well, really well. Birdies on 3, 5, 9, 10, 12, just the one bogey on 11. Interestingly, he was saying, you know, the reason that he sought Neil Manship, his coach, out yesterday is that he wasn't feeling all that great. He didn't feel like practice had gone very well. Wasn't feeling comfortable. Said he was very nervous on the first tee. Lowry is very much of Ireland, so he is feeling the Portrush thing every bit as much as McDowell and Rory and Clark, and I'm sure Harrington as well, who had a tough day at plus four. Was 2 under through five, Harrington, but fell away. So Lowry was not feeling good in the midst of all this. He has a great relationship with Neil Manship. It wouldn't be the first time, and I suspect it won't be the last time, that a few words from Neil Manship calms Shane down and gets him in a good place. And they seem to do that. What he said was, Nathan, they talked through every eventuality. They talked through what happens if I have, well, I hate to use this phrase, but if I have a Rory McIlroy on the first, what do we do then? What do we do if I'm leading? And he said he came away from about a 40-minute coffee feeling confident, feeling at ease. And look, we know he's swinging the club well. He was the leader in Lahinch but he had a very good round in Lahinch first round before he fell ill that week, which derailed him somewhat. So his game's in a good place, and sometimes, you know, when he gets his head in a good place, and Peter Lowry was on yesterday, these are slow greens. These are like about 10, 10 and a half in the stint meter. And he said that'll suit Shane. He can putt aggressively and not have to worry about some kind of horrible 5, 6, 7 footer coming back the other way. So look, it's maybe not the worst thing, you know, maybe not the worst thing that John Rahm and now JB Holmes have nipped ahead of him, because it's a tough thing to lead wire to wire, especially when, and you gave the list of names, you've got Koepka and Sergio and Rose and Day all looking over your shoulder. So, you know what, 4 under, one off the lead, not having to carry that mantle overnight. That is a really good day for Lowry, and he's getting great support here, as you can imagine.
All right, Joe, good stuff. Anything else you need to touch on before we let you go?
Nothing really, just beyond the obvious. The crowds are fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just thronged. The weather today, wind was kind of benign enough, 15 miles an hour, nothing they can't handle. You'd seem to get a horrible shower about once an hour, but it hasn't dampened the crowds at all. Logistics, all that kind of stuff, working well. Reports from everybody in that vein are good. So, and I think as well, the RNA are delighted with how the course has held up. They're really happy with this kind of scoring. They can make things worse if they want. Paul Casey was saying it was quite fair, the setup. So I think all in all, they'll be, obviously, look, McIlroy and Woods are huge stars, but you'd have to say day one is kind of ticking most boxes.
Yeah, can't wait to get up there tomorrow and to check it out. Joe, brilliant stuff. We shall talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Nathan. All right.
All right, Cork have just gone 2-0 up against Progress, 2-2 in aggregate in the Europa League, level and away goals. Conor McCarthy with the goal. Gary Buckley scored the first. We'll take a quick break.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
So JB Holmes is the outright leader on his own on day one of the Open Championship in the clubhouse and 5 under par after a round of 66. John Rahm has just dropped a shot on 16 to go back to 4 under par alongside Shane Lowry, who's in the clubhouse on 4 under. And then you've got a group that, as we said, includes the likes of Webb Simpson, Sergio Garcia, Dylan Fratelli, Ryan Fox, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, all on 3 under par. Lee Westwood has got to 3 under par as well, with Justin Rose among those on 2 under par. To continue our coverage of the Open, delighted to be joined on the line by Peter Lowry of the Spawell Golf Academy and, of course, of Golf Weekly as well. Peter, good evening.
Hello, Nathan. How are you?
I'm very well. So you were up in Portrush on Tuesday, and I was texting you on Tuesday night to get your thoughts on what you saw. And you mentioned the first hole and out of bounds and how you felt that a lot of players were going to get caught out by the out of bounds left and right of the first. And Rory McIlroy, well, probably one of the most high-profile out-of-bounds we've ever seen. What happened with that swing? Was that nerves? Was that something technical?
It had to be nerves, Nathan. That's all that it could have been. He was on the range, and the commentators were commentating on how well he was hitting his driver just before he went to the first tee. He was hitting at 330 on the fly with swing speed. And what I didn't understand was why did he finish his warm-up with his driver when he knew that he was going to hit iron off the tee on the first hole?
Would that be unusual?
I was amazed. And normally, well, I can only speak from my own experience, was whatever my first tee shot was going to be, whether it was driver, three wood, iron, rescue, whatever it may be, that was the last thing I wanted to do when I left the range. And then you go to the first tee with a clear picture in your head. Now, we all knew, I had spoken at the start of the week about how tough the first hole could be, especially into the breeze with out of bounds left and right. It's a very daunting tee shot with driver in your hand. But the wind was off the right. It was probably down a little bit. You know, the first tee shot was, it was an easy tee shot this week so far. Wind is meant to switch now at the weekend, so it's going to make it much tougher. And I was telling everybody that if the wind switches a little bit earlier, this was going to be the most daunting tee shot, especially for Darren, who was hitting the first tee shot of the week. And it was going to be daunting, and Darren had to hit driver this morning because it was cold. But never did I think Rory would hit it out of bounds.
And he never recovered. He had a bad lie with when he reloaded and ended up taking another drop up beside the green. Sort of steadied the ship for a good chunk of the round without ever really setting a light. And then he had that careless moment on 16 with the missed putt, a triple bogey on 18. Like, so much build up over so many years for Rory McIlroy at the Open Championship at Portrush. Are you surprised that nerves would still be such a factor for McIlroy with all his experience at this stage?
I think we all suffer from nerves no matter who we are. You could look at Greg Norman, who lost the Masters final round, threw it away. You know, he'd been around the block many, many years up to that, was probably able to control himself, but in that situation wasn't. Rory had built this up to be something, you know, spectacular. He'd been waiting for the Open to come there, and literally he destroyed his whole dreams within 4 hours. He got it back, and I was surprised that I thought he could sort of limp into the clubhouse maybe 3 over, and he's still in the tournament, but not where he is now. He might as well pack his bags and go home.
Yeah, he'll just have to brave it out tomorrow, much like Tiger Woods on 6 over par. Shane Lowry then, what a story this could emerge into over the weekend. A first round of 67, some very, very steady golf, some very good links golf. He never seemed panicked when he would hit a bad shot and he'd end up in a difficult position. Just kept it steady as you like, gave himself plenty of nice shouts at birdie and took the easy pars when they were going. What did you see from Lowry's round today that might give us some hope heading into the weekend?
Well, we spoke on the podcast during the week with Joe about the draw, and the draw was so important to Shane, and he got such a good draw. The early late draw, they all talked about the weather, that was going to be the best draw. And also with Mickelson, playing with Mickelson, it brings kind of Shane's game up a level. You know, he's in that category now of that A1 category, as we say, of players. He got the A1 draw. And I think playing with somebody like Mickelson really helped him. He wasn't able to get down on himself like sometimes he does. He had to keep his head above water, and he played beautiful golf. As you said, he played proper links golf. He used his head and played lovely and putted very well too. So I would hope to see a lot of Shane now over the weekend.
What do you expect him to do tomorrow then, if he does get the look of the draw and if he gets the best of the weather conditions tomorrow? Do you expect just the same again? Does he go out and try and be aggressive, or do you just need to hang on in there until, I don't know, Sunday afternoon?
No, I think he could take a leaf out of Brooks's book now for majors. If he can just hang in there, he's shot a good score. He's put himself now in a position. He just has to hang around now for the weekend. If he could stick in a couple of one unders Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he won't be too far away.
Hmm. John Rahm is there yet again on an Irish links. The question is always, what is it about the Irish links and John Rahm? What is it? Is it just something in his psyche now that he feels comfortable here? Or do you look at his game and think, actually, you can see why it's well suited to links golf?
No, I think, first of all, his golf game is very well suited to links golf. I was always very surprised with his game. You know, he went to America. He did his college golf over there. But he came back still like a links golfer. When you go over there, they try and train you to hit it really high. And, you know, it's a different style of golf. But John Rahm is still able to play the chip and run, the low shots. And he has it all. He's very strong mentally too. And as I was saying again to Joe during the week, he's been in Ireland. He hasn't left Ireland since the Irish Open.
Right.
He stayed in a different manner. He came up in the helicopter on Tuesday. He's had it easy. You know, so he hasn't been flying back to America or flying over to the Scottish Open to play. He just took it easy, did a lot of practice. And I think he's going to be the man to beat this week.
The one thing from watching the television covers that I took was how deserving Portrush is of its place on the open road. And I guess that won't come as a surprise to anyone who's ever played up there. But in the purely simplest forms of professional golf, it rewarded players who hit good shots and punished mistakes. Time and time again, if a player hit a mistake and they got themselves in the deep stuff, they dropped the shot. Yet if you just played sensible straight down the middle golf, you generally had birdie opportunities out there.
Yeah, look, Portrush is a wonderful golf course. I don't know whether any of the listeners watched the thing on BBC last night, the making of the Open in Portrush. What a brilliant program of what Portrush have done to get this Open to where it is. And they have thought of everything. They've thought of every fine detail. And it really has paid off. They need a pat on the back. This is probably the best. And as Peter Alice said at the start of the week, this could be the best Open ever. And I think it's certainly going that way.
All right. Of course, it's not even the main golf event of the year, Peter. Of course, that's going to be taking place at the Off the Ball Open this November. Don't forget, you're going to be there alongside Kieran Donaghy, Kevin Kilbane, the rest of the Off the Ball team. We're taking on two of the best courses on the planet, the Yas Links and the National in Abu Dhabi. It's all on November 17th to 23rd. There's a roadshow. Peter's going to give a golf clinic. If you want to go, check out offtheball.com/open. I know you're excited, Peter.
I certainly am. Can't wait to get a bit of proper sun on my back.
We all need it, that's for sure. Great stuff, Peter. We'll talk to you again over the course of the weekend.
Cheers, Nathan. Thanks.
And if you want any of the reaction from today's opening round of the Open Championship, John Duggan's been up there and he's been talking to Rory McIlroy, to Shane Lowry, to James Sugrue, who did so well, the amateur, to get in on level par. You can check out all of that on offtheball.com.
Get up-to-the-minute news updates at newstalk.com and on the Newstalk app.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.